He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. Is it Thursday already? I guess it is. It's the March 25th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we have a little improvement here since the market opened. The NASDAQ was down about 70 at the open. It's just gone positive by a little bit. It's up 8 points. But listen to this. It's at 12,967. I've been showing the chart of the NASDAQ every Saturday in my newsletter. And I said, you know what? It topped 14,000. I said that several weeks ago. And now here we are under 13,000. We'll have to look at a chart here during the show. I think it has further to go to the downside. Technically, we shall see the Dow down 141. The Dow is starting to soften. Money's starting to leave even the value stocks. Well, we're going through a correction here in the market, or is it the beginning of a bear? We'll talk about that in a bit. The Dow down 141, 32,278, not that far from its all-time high, let's not forget. The S&P is down 6, 38.83. The small caps continue to sell off, down another 1.25% today. Crude oil down $2 per barrel. You've got gold up $6. Let's see what interest rates are doing. Well, there's a flight to safety, and that's driving interest rates lower. That's the Fed's best friend right now, this flight to safety, which is driving those rates down to 1.59% today. And Bitcoin, talk about a flight to safety. It's down $5,000 per coin today. That's a 9% drop. So welcome to the Thursday edition of Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, I've been telling you I didn't like all the speculation in the market. I started the warning about it several weeks ago. In fact, maybe 8, 10. I have to go back in the newsletter and see. But I didn't like all the SPACs coming to market. I've been saying for quite some time now that the market has a valuation problem, I was continuing to see too much speculation in really low quality stocks in the the Bitcoin mining business, the battery charger business, things like this, things that may never see profits as publicly traded companies. So I began selling quite some time ago. We're putting together an article that lists all the sales we've made over the last several months from the articles that we've written in Seeking Alpha. I'm the guy that went totally bullish on the market back in late March of last year and started getting very, very cautious on the market in about mid-February of this year. And I took a lot of that high growth stuff off the table quite some time ago. And being a unconstrained investor and an active money manager, I'm not constrained to stay fully invested. I'm not constrained to buy only technology stocks. I'm not constrained to buy only growth stocks. I'm not constrained to buy only value stocks, nor am I constrained from hedging my portfolios with inverse ETFs. And as I begin this day today, we at Gunderson Capital overall are about 70% in cash. In addition to this, we have a few hedges out there, maybe about a 5% overall position against the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. So that's where we stand as we begin a new day. I would just say during a time like this, you can't force anything. You have to be patient. Maybe, maybe not. New leadership will emerge. You have to take it a day at a time. But your biggest job has been over the last few months to protect all of those hard-earned gains made since last March. And I'm sure there's some of you out there saying, I wish I would have listened to Gunderson a long time ago. You're saying, is it too late to sell now? Well, it depends on the stock. You know, I have lines in the sand. There's some just terrible weakness in the market right now. Yesterday it was the Chinese stocks that got hit really hard as the rhetoric between us and China amps up and a few other forces at work there. The small caps, which looked like the action was shifting, that didn't last very long. Now it's selling off with the rest of the market. The growth to value move, well, the jury is still out on that one, because with this sell-off and kind of a flight to safety in the market, is driving down interest rates. So that is even starting to hurt the value stock. So, you know, you just have to take it a day at a time. But I've sold off about 70% of my holdings since mid-February, early February. Okay, the NASDAQ down another 2% yesterday. There was a two-day rally in the FANG stocks. That proved to be a non-starter. I haven't checked them out today, but that rally fizzled yesterday. You had crude oil selling off again yesterday back under $60 per barrel. And you even had the commodities not trading well yesterday, when it looked like there was going to be a pretty good rally in the commodity stocks, the copper stocks, the iron ore stocks, etc. But you know what? Even those stocks look weak right now. Chinese ETF saw a large sell-off in the market yesterday in a response to the news that China is reportedly proposing a joint venture to oversee data collection from e-commerce and digital payment companies. Why does the Chinese government want to oversee data collection from e-commerce and digital payment companies? Well, you probably know the answer to that. And I've just watched, you know, I sold all my Chinese stocks. I had some positions in Pinduo, in Tencent Holdings, in JD.com. I sold them quite some time ago, and they just continue to get stomped, along with stocks like NetEase, Baidu, Alibaba, etc. In addition to this, there's a coordinated sanction effort on China. The United States, Britain, European Union, and Canada impose sanctions on Chinese officials for human rights abuses. So, not a good day for the Chinese stocks. In fact, the Chinese Internet ETF was down 8.5% yesterday. The Golden Dragon ETF down 7.4%. The China Consumer ETF down 8.9%. Those are some big, big losses. And then we move to Europe, and you've got a rise in COVID. I think Germany is now backing off of their hard shutdown of the economy once again. But that's got the market in tizzy. And you've got the SEC, after the Chinese stocks, rolling out a delisting law. This was put in place by President Trump. And it looks like President Biden is going to follow through with it. Dual-listed Chinese companies are extending losses today, including shares of Alibaba, Baidu, JD.com, after the SEC adopted the Holding Foreign Companies Accountable Act. Yes, we should hold these foreign companies accountable. We should hold our SPACs accountable, too. The measure was signed into law by then-President Trump in December before it was evident how the Biden administration would handle relations with Beijing. It now appears to be taking a similar stance against China following a very tense meeting in Alaska. Yeah, that didn't go well at all. Well, not a good time to own Chinese stocks, isn't it? Is it? In fact, there's inverse ETFs on China. also, which may be useful at a time like this. Now you throw in one other big hammer to the market. Janet Yellen sees the need for U.S. to raise revenues in the longer term. She said this yesterday before the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee. She's a little bit vague on the timing of it, but obviously they're proposing a hike in the personal income tax, capital gains rate tax, and the corporate rate tax. Is this a good time? Or should we wait till the economy recovers a little bit here? Is it ever a good time for a big tax hike? For heaven's sakes. Well, she says it's an appropriate time to raise the corporate tax rate. Not helping the market at all. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson. Well, what impact would all the various tax hikes have on S&P 500 earnings? That's the big question. I'm using like a worst case scenario type of range there in my calculations. Goldman Sachs says it would cut S&P 500 earnings by 3%, which would be negligible. Okay, if we're going to have $200 in earnings next year for the S&P 500, that's the year 2022, I mean, that's a $6 hit on earnings. But then you have to take into account, I think it would be a little more than that. I think it would be closer to 5 to 10% of S&P 500 earnings. But then you have to take into account the drag that taking the corporate or the individual tax and the capital gains tax higher would also have. So you know what? I may be a little bit too aggressive on the impact that a tax hike would have on S&P 500 earnings next year. I'm waiting to see some how other companies weigh in on this. There are some people finally starting to take it into account. Now, here's S&P Global. They're calling it a 6% hit to EPS. But then again, that does not take into account the other two tax hikes that are proposed out there. So, you know what? The market might be able to take it in stride. That comes down to, you know, if companies can continue to grow their earnings. In an economy that's already very, very weak and not going to be helped by a tax hike at this point in time. All right, Goldman Sachs downgrades Tencent Music. Now, the reason I bring this stock up, the other day, this is a good example of where you need a chart is good, okay? Having a good chart, and I said this, I think, on Monday. I said Tencent Holdings is one of the best-looking charts in the entire market. But then I went on to say, but the valuation doesn't make sense at all. But the performance made sense. It had a good relative strength. So it had 2 out of 3. And I would say the most important factor in today's market with an expanding interest rate environment and a shrinking. You know what else shrinks the multiple? A little bit of fear and trepidation, which has definitely crept into the market here. You know, we've seen a 25% hit to the high growth area of the market. I use Cathie Wood's ARKK ETF as a proxy there. That thing's down 25%. Well, that brings about a little fear. And I look at a lot of these SPACs. They've been murdered. They've been clobbered. And now you got the Chinese stocks getting clobbered. Well, fear also has a big impact on what multiple the market trades at. in a giddy, roaring, speculative market, that multiple will stretch as far as people will allow it to stretch. But the more it stretches, the more vulnerable it is when a dose of reality starts to hit the market, which we've seen here, and a little bit of fear and panic comes into the market, which we've also seen. We haven't seen that in a long, long time. And you're seeing the multiple come in right now. You're not seeing earnings come in. I track those S&P 500 earnings every single week. If anything, they've been getting just a little better over the last several weeks. We're looking for 22.6% higher earnings this quarter than the same quarter last year, which was heavily impacted by COVID. But the other thing you have to remember is that's already been baked into the cake. The market has already taken into consideration the next 12 months, easily, the next 12 months of earnings, and it's looking beyond that, okay? So therein lies the key to the direction of the market is how we do in 2022. 2021 has been baked into the cake long ago. So 10 Cent Music got clobbered yesterday. It looked really good from a technical point of view. If you're a technician only looking at the chart, like I say, it was one of the best charts in the market just 2 days ago, but I thought it was too expensive. And now I see it got hit. It was down 23% yesterday. Along with other Chinese stocks, it got hit even more, however, and Goldman Sachs downgrading 10 Cent Music, citing baked-in positives. Okay. Now, here's the other big story. I did not like the way these SPACs were going. I did not. This, to me, all of these SPACs going public, and I've made a lot of noise about it on my show almost daily, about how many new SPACs are coming to market. Not IPOs, SPACs. You see, the bar is a lot lower for a SPAC than an IPO. Therefore, you have a lot of really marginal companies that probably couldn't have went public through an IPO. All of a sudden, you had this rush to the SPAC window to get all these SPACs out there in the market. I didn't like it. You know, you're adding a lot of supply to the market with all these new companies, and the quality of that supply, in my opinion, from what I've been watching, was low. The quality was low in most of these SPACs. Well, now the SEC is inquiring into Wall Street's blank check IPO frenzy. Now, this is the same SEC that allowed this to happen, okay? And, you know, I've heard them speak out on this in the past saying, well, you know what, it's a good way to bring companies public and bring capital into these companies. I didn't like it. And now the same SEC that was allowing speculation is going to inquire. They're going to try to point the finger away from them, I guess, to the banks that are involved in bringing these SPACs public. And if you look at the SPAC ETF, which is S-P-A-K, it's not SPLAT, it's SPAC, it is down 25% from its high about 1 month ago. Let's see how the IPO ETF, because I thought the IPOs were starting to get pretty shaky, too. That thing is down 17 points. That would be, I got to do a little math in my head there. That's about a 20% drop in the IPO ETF. Well, should they just put a moratorium on the SPACs for now? Well, you know, A-Rod and a couple other athletes, we're waiting for their SPACs to come out. Let's let them come out first. But, you know, the SEC is worried about the depth of due diligence, full disclosure of huge payouts to investors, and risk of insider trading. It reminded me an awful lot of dot-com mania, and now we're starting to see the fallout from my perspective. This is Bill Gunderson, so we're going to talk about my favorite stock when we come back. Welcome back here to the second half. We'll get to my favorite stock here in a minute, but I want to go back to this tax talk. I use Refinitiv as one of my sources for S&P 500 earnings. I use another source on top of that, and then I do my own estimates also and kind of come at an average of all of them. Now, Refinitiv's work, which is really good, I mean, that was a company owned by Thomson Reuters. It was spun off not too long ago. They say that the tax impact on corporate or on S&P 500 earnings would be more like 11%. Okay, that's pretty significant. So if you just do the math there, if the consensus estimate for next year, 2022, is $200 per share, and just for round number's sake, we use a 20 multiple, that gives the S&P 500 a $4,000 valuation potential, you know, 6 to 12 months down the road. The consensus target price for the S&P right now, 500, is 4,400, which I can't figure out how they get to that. All right, mine closer to 4,000. But now, okay, now you take 11% out of that from earnings are after tax earnings, so you got to take a big slice out of there. You take 11% out of that, you get down to 178. Per share next year. Okay, that's the direct cost. That puts the S&P 500 earnings at 178 times 20. That gives the S&P a value 6 to 12 months from now of 3565. Okay, so that's 400 points, over 400 points on just the S&P 500. Now you got to look at the indirect impact that a tax hike like that would have on these corporations. And you've got to add in the other tax hikes, the capital gains taxes and the individual income tax. I think you could see as much as a 20% hit to earnings, which would take earnings from 200 down to 160. Now you're down at a 3,200 S&P 500. In addition to this, it would be likely that you're going to get back to more of a normal multiple. The normal multiple over the last many years has been 16 to 18. 16 to 18. It wouldn't maintain that lofty 20 that it's had in these speculative times that are starting to disappear. So now you put an 18 multiple, which is still pretty rich. I mean, I think 16 or 17 it would be more likely. But let's just use an 18 multiple on 20%, $160 in earnings next year, not $200. And you come up with a target price on the S&P 500 of just $2,900. You think maybe the market's starting to bake some of that into the cake right now? I do. Okay, what's my favorite stock? Well, I love to talk about and watch GameStop. GameStop is the two most expensive stocks that I've ever seen in my career in the business. There was one out of Canada, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, like Borax or something like that, that went to $5,000 per share. They supposedly had some new technology for finding oil underground by flying airplanes over it or something like that. Okay, there's been a couple Canadian things that just went bonkers and then came crashing back down to be penny stocks again. But as we started the year, I mentioned in my newsletter that Tesla, and I've been saying GameStop for quite some time, are the most expensive stocks I've ever seen in my 24 years in the business. Oh, there might have been some more, but I didn't see them. These two are pretty visible stocks. They get a lot of media. They get a lot of press. Well, GameStop came along and reported earnings yesterday. Well, they haven't had any earnings for 3 years. and they're not going to have any earnings in the near future, and they refuse to give any guidance going forward. The stock is now down from 483 down to 140, and most analysts, like myself, who really pay a lot of attention to valuation, have it valued in the 20 to 30 area. 20 to 30, and it's still trading at 141. So anyways, everybody was waiting for GameStop's earnings the other day. They did come in, and I didn't think it was a very good report. Well, we'll see. Okay, let's see. What do we got next here? Yields, rotation, valuation, what's going on with the stock market? Well, I don't think, like you say, you can point to any one thing. But I think we've gone over the several factors right now that are kind of causing a real lack of leadership. There is no leadership in the market whatsoever right now. And you just have to be patient during a time like this. And as I said, you know, I have a 70% cash hoard and some inverse funds in place. So I have very little exposure to the market right now until I see some new direction emerge. GOP-led states sue Biden administration over oil and gas leasing pause. 13 states filing suit in federal court. Well, it's the oil-producing states, obviously. Biden has signed an executive order creating a pause in new leases on federal lands. Silicon Valley in no rush to return to the office. I saw a poll that 73% of workers want to continue working at home. I think 73% of wives want their husbands to go back to the office. I haven't seen that poll yet. Luckily, I've got a nice office down here that's pretty private, and we get along just fine. But you know what? I don't ever see it. You know, that doesn't bode well. I've heard some people say, you know, the REITs, Bill, why aren't you buying the REITs here? Number one, they're not affected by a rise in corporate tax rates. But keep in mind that most of the REITs are office buildings. They're commercial strip malls. Their theaters, their hotels. I don't personally think that this is a very good environment. How would you like to be an office REIT? Do you remember the days in New York City, okay, at lunchtime when they would go get their corned beef sandwiches and pastrami? I mean, it was a packed city, packed. All of those people coming out of those skyscrapers to get a deli sandwich and some coleslaw, hold the mayo, a little pickle on the side. You know what? I'm not thinking that REITs are a very good investment right now. Well, Intel had big news yesterday that, you know, there's only really one or two big foundries in the world that actually make the chips. Not potato chips, semiconductor chips. Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, is pretty much got a corner on the market. And President Biden was calling out American companies for, you know, getting some more foundry capacity going on. Well, Intel stepped up to the plate in Arizona, their Phoenix plant. They plan on expanding their foundry business. They're going to spend $20 billion. Well, that hurt Taiwan Semiconductor yesterday. That was one of the stocks that I had been holding on to. But it also broke beneath my line in the sand. Can Bitcoin be outlawed? That's what Ray Dalio is saying. Well, I have my own thoughts on that. I think you're going to see digital currencies being used by countries, and I think they're going to develop their own and try to knock these private ones out of the water. So for that reason, I still continue to be very, very concerned about Bitcoin. Now, how about the new latest craze, non-fungible tokens? How many non-fungible tokens will it cost me to buy a Bitcoin so that I can turn around and buy a Tesla? And then buy some stock in battery charging companies. Has anybody been watching the battery charging companies, the Blinks of the world? And the, oh man, they are just getting clobbered. Anyways, you'll have to read up on this one. It's a little complicated, but you had a stock go up 30% yesterday because they're going to develop new non-fungible token products. More sign of a little speculation going on there. And there's another big one in that space, Wise Key. Is it wise to buy Wise Key as they have a new non-fungible token? I would avoid it like the plague. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Final segment of the Best Stocks Now show on this Thursday, March the 25th. The 10-year yield back up to 1.60. Pretty quiet there. The Dow down 289 now. The S&P down 30. I do have a inverse SH. And the NASDAQ is really giving up the ghost. I do have an inverse on the NASDAQ, PSQ. The NASDAQ is down 141 points, and I have very little exposure, if any, maybe just a little bit left. I have 70% in cash, almost. I think it's 67 as of yesterday. And these two ETFs on that are inverse, both the NASDAQ, I have one on the NASDAQ and one on the Dow. So I can go where I want to go. I can do what I want to do. I'm unconstrained. Now, others aren't, well, I would say most people in my business don't manage portfolios. They put you in something and you stay the course, come hell or high water. And, of course, ETFs, now I'm not sure about Cathie Wood's ARK. That's an actively managed ETF. And she did say she has a sell strategy, but that thing just continues to get crunched. I'm not sure how if she can go to 100% cash. I'm not sure if she can hedge her portfolio. But it is billed as an actively managed ETF. The other one is Moonshot. That was the one that was doing better than hers. That thing is getting just coming unglued. It's down 28% from its high. That's the area of the market you do not want to go near. Space exploration stocks, Bitcoin miners, battery charging, solid-state batteries, new electric car startups, SPACs. It was way overheated. And now the chickens are coming home to roost there. Well, I do have a featured stock of the day. It had a very nice earnings report. I still do believe in this work-from-home concept. When 73% of workers say they want to stay at home and work, continue to work from home. But I don't like the high-priced DocuSigns and Zoom infos and Pelotons, the ones that had such a big run last year. I think people are spending a lot of money on their homes, fixing up the interiors of their homes, making their homes a little more diverse. To have office, a place to work out, trying to cram as much stuff, a restaurant in your living room, right, or in your kitchen. Now you got to have a little restaurant when they deliver the food and all this kind of stuff. Restoration Hardware, I think, is a pretty good position company on this whole craze. It's currently one of my top-ranked stocks. It's kind of been a sleeper over the years. How sleepy has it been? Well, it's quietly gone from $24 a share 4 years ago, $24 a share, to $496 per share. They operate 68 retail stores in 39 states, and, of course, they do a lot of online business, hardware, bathware, furniture, lighting, etc., headquartered in Corte Madera, California. They've also been growing their earnings over the last 5 years by 69% per year. 69% per year. And this quarter that they just reported yesterday, their earnings were up 36%. Their sales were up 22%, which I think is proof of my thesis that people are spending a lot of money on their homes, fixing them up, because we're spending a lot more time in our homes. It used to be, you know, you'd open the garage at night about 7 p.m. and come inside, maybe watch a show or two, and leave again at 6 in the morning for the long commute. Well, spent very little time in our homes. Well, it's changing. It's changed a lot. And there are certain companies that are benefiting from this. And, you know, like I say, I have to have all three oars in the water here. I have to have a good chart. Restoration Hardware has a very good chart, RH. A little on the flattish side, but flat is better than down right now. Relative strength is 91 on a scale of 1 to 99. It's not that expensive. It's trading at, 25 times next year's earnings, but it's expected to grow at 25% per year. So now you look at the PEG ratio, which is 1.03. Okay, very attractive PEG ratio. I have a target price on RH, Restoration Hardware, of 970. Well, who would have ever thought it would have gone from 24 to 500 like it has? Can it go to 970? Well, if it can hit those expectations that are out there on the street by the analysts that follow the stock, it's possible. So we'll make Restoration Hardware in a very difficult market with very little leadership right now. Something eventually will emerge. We got to be patient. But you could put Restoration Hardware on your list, RH. It needs to break through. I would just say it has resistance at about 525. If it breaks through that, it could be ready for a new, another big leg up. So put RH on your watch list. That's our featured stock of the day. Well, we are active money managers. Active money managers. We are not. Passive money managers. I believe in being active. Anyways, if you would like to talk to us, GundersonCapital.com is where you go to see our newsletter. You can go back and look at the rapid changes we started making back in the mid of February. And you can also give us a call and have your current portfolio. Are you in harm's way? Is it too late to do anything? Should you take action or should you ride this thing out? Well, a lot of people faced the same dilemma in the year 2000, and they decided to ride things out, and that didn't turn out so good. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.